So what about the miracles that Jesus did not do? You know, we learn a lot from what the miracles Jesus did not do. In fact, there's a lot of theology contained in looking at the miracles that Jesus didn't do. There's a lot of things Jesus could have done that we know he could have done because of the miracles he did, and yet he chose not to do it. For example, he never did a miracle to meet his own needs. You know, think about it. If Jesus was hungry, he could have just zap, there you go, there's some food, voila, eat it. He never did that. When Jesus was thirsty, he didn't make water to give himself something to drink. When he was tired, he could have just, done a little whammo blammo thing and solved his tiredness. But instead, what Jesus did was he slept. As far as I know, he never made nice clothes for himself. He didn't feed himself. He didn't, let's say he had an illness. He didn't miraculously heal himself. He may have healed other people of their sicknesses, but he never healed himself of his own sicknesses. And this tells me a lot about Jesus. It tells me that Jesus fully accepted being human. He didn't try to use his miraculous powers to make himself any less human. Jesus fully accepted that he was not only God in the flesh, but he was in the flesh. He accepted being a human. He accepted having the position of spiritually of like a slave, of being amongst us humans who also live like slaves. So that's one thing I learned about Jesus, is he never did a miracle to help his own needs. And it tells me a lot about him theologically. Another thing he never did was he never did a miracle in order to convince people who didn't believe in him. Jesus gave us free will as God gave us free will. And in fact, I see God giving us free will in the miracles that Jesus didn't do. In Matthew 13, 55 through 58, it says, "And he did not do many miracles there in Nazareth because of their lack of faith." You know, Jesus was willing to use miracles to encourage those who had a level of belief to give them more faith. But the bottom line is, he never did a miracle in order to take somebody who's a hard-hearted person and try to essentially force them to believe. So that tells me a bit of theology as well, which is that God will not make us do what's right. He will not make us believe. He will not force us to change what we believe. He will not force us to stop sinning. Jesus, and I'm sure he was tempted many times, it's like, oh, these people, they're driving me crazy. I'm sure he was tempted to work a miracle to get them to believe, to get them to stop being hard-hearted, to get them to stop being prideful, but he never did it. And again, I learn a lot from this. I learn that Jesus gives us free will, and he does not manipulate us through his miracles, through doing things in order to make us believe. A third thing that Jesus didn't do, which is kind of related, I guess, to the second one, is he didn't work a miracle in order to, when we challenged him to do it. So people would say, "Jesus, prove to us you're real, work a miracle." Under those circumstances, the bottom line is he would not do it. One example is Satan in the wilderness. Satan says, "Prove to me you're the Son of God. Prove to me you're something awesome. Do a miracle." Jesus wouldn't do it. In one case in the Gospels, we have this. "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you.'" Under those circumstances, Jesus would not do a miracle. He wouldn't do it. He couldn't be manipulated. He didn't do miracles in order to appeal to the crowd or to appeal to the people who wanted some sort of a show. In another place, in Matthew 12, 38 through 41, he answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here." The point of Jesus is, no, I'm not going to be like a circus act. I'm not going to do a miracle just because you asked me to. In fact, if you, with a hard heart, with a skeptical heart, say, "Prove to me that you're the Messiah," Jesus would not do it. So I think there's theological implications for us. We say, "Hey, Jesus, if you'll you know, if you'll get me out of this situation, you know, I'll believe in you. Or Jesus, you know, prove to me that you're real. Jesus, do this miracle, then I'll believe in you. Jesus, you know, get me out of this situation, then I'll believe in you. Jesus, if you'll make all the lights green from here to work so I can get there on time, then I'll start going to church. I'll tell you right now, if you want to take that approach, it will not work. So I learned something else from a miracle that Jesus didn't do. A fourth category of miracles that Jesus didn't do, he didn't do a miracle in order to judge people who refused to believe. When people were sinful, arrogant, doing things that God does not want them to do, he did not sort of jump in there to perform a miracle in order to show them up, in order to judge them on the spot. For example, in Luke 9, 52 through 56, they went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy this village?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. Jesus would not use his power to judge people. Jesus says, "I didn't come to the world to judge the world, but to save it." Now, Jesus will judge the world. We know that. Jesus, after the time of the end and the final resurrection, Jesus will come to judge the world. But Jesus did not come to the world to judge it, but to save it. It says that in John 12, starting in verse 48. He came to bring salvation, not to bring judgment. So Jesus did not perform a miracle in order to bring judgment, at least not during his time on the earth. Another thing, another category, if you will, of miracles that Jesus didn't do is he didn't force people's will. I'm sure if he wanted to, Jesus could have changed people's mind. He could have sort of manipulated their neurons to make them have faith. He could have somehow interacted and changed their heart. He could have forced them to love him. He could have made them put their faith in him. He could have done something to put a thought in their mind so that they wouldn't sin, but Jesus didn't do it. Imagine the power that Jesus had to work a miracle to help himself out, to work a miracle in order to convince the hard-hearted, or in order to stir up the crowds, or get people to put faith in him, or in order to bring judgment on those who refuse to believe in him, or in order to change people's minds. I guarantee you, if Jesus, Jesus had the power to do that, but because of God's nature, he didn't do it. Another thing, and really, I think this sort of sums it all up. Jesus did not use his miraculous power to end the crucifixion. It shows to me that Jesus willingly died. You know the song, "He could have called 10,000 angels"? I don't know. I believe he could have called 10,000 angels. In fact, he said that on the cross. He said that I could call many legions of angels, but he didn't do it. Jesus willingly submitted to the judgment of us on him. He allowed us to say, "Crucify him, crucify him," and he was crucified. Jesus' power was great enough to end the crucifixion. He could have just snapped his fingers. The spikes would have left his wrists. He could have floated to the ground and he could have walked off. But he didn't do it. It proves to me that Jesus willingly died. He willingly allowed himself to be mocked and spit upon and tortured and killed. It shows me God's love. The miracles that Jesus didn't do shows me God's love. It shows me the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. It shows us that Jesus' love is greater than his justice. I learn a lot from Jesus, from the miracles that he did not do. Okay, last, I'll just take a couple more minutes here. I want to talk about one more piece of evidence that I believe shows Jesus. And it's the lives that have been transformed by Jesus. I believe the life of Jesus has done more to change human history than any other life. And this is evidence that Jesus is who he said he is. I believe if Jesus did not live, then slavery would be a part of virtually every culture, if not every culture in the world today. I believe that if Jesus had never lived, there would be no such thing as courts of human rights or laws of human rights, that the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution would not exist. I believe if Jesus had never lived, that women's rights would not even be on the agenda, never mind women having a pretty amazing amount of rights in a lot of places. All of these things are the result of the ministry of Jesus. This is evidence that Jesus is who he said he is. As an example, in John 7:17, let me turn there. John 7:17. I love this passage. The point here that I'm making in this last little section is one of the evidence that Jesus is who he said he is by all the lives that have been changed by Jesus. All the lives that were going to hell, all the lives that were destroyed by drugs and violence and sexual immorality and depravity of every sort. All the lives that were turned around by the personal ministry of Jesus. The passage we're going to read is John chapter 7, I'll start in verse 16. Jesus answered them, "My teaching isn't mine, but it is from the one who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, if anyone will do his will, he will know whether my teaching is from God or whether I speak on my own." Jesus gave those who were skeptical this challenge. You don't think I'm the Son of God? You don't think I'm the Messiah? You don't think who I say I am? Try my teachings. Try that on. And you'll see that what I teach is true. I believe that if people simply try Christianity, they'll realize that it is the truth. And so I believe this is one of the greatest evidences, is the result of Jesus' ministry. The result of Jesus' ministry was the greatest religious movement in all time. You cannot explain the growth and vitality of the early church other than by the fact that Jesus is who he says he is. Millions, I would argue perhaps even billions of lives transformed by the personal experience with Jesus Christ. I believe this is some of the greatest evidence. What a good friend of mine, Mark Wilkinson, I love a lesson he taught. He's talking about sin, and the quote that he had is, "How's that working for you? How's your non-Christian lifestyle working for you? How's that marriage working? How's that life with purpose going?" I believe only through Jesus do we have a life with meaning and purpose and marriages that are loving and do we see the things that we want to see happen in our lives. So for the skeptic who says, "I don't know about that, you know, whether Jesus is the Messiah. I'm not sure if I believe in those messianic prophecies. I'm not sure in the evidence that Jesus worked miracles. I don't know. Yeah, sure, the tomb was empty. Yeah, sure, the resurrection was believed. Yeah, sure, Jesus was crucified. Yeah, sure, there's 500 witnesses, but I refuse to believe it. I see Jesus standing straight in front of me, I'm not going to believe in Jesus." I say, all right, skeptic, why don't you take Jesus' challenge? Why don't you take Jesus' challenge? Just try to do what he said. Live a righteous life. Serve people. Love people. Turn away from sin. Turn towards God. Love people. Be respectful, etc. Try to live the Jesus lifestyle. I believe it'll work. Now, it won't work fully for you until you repent of your sins. You turn yourself over to Jesus. Repent, are baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. But even without that, I believe if we simply accept the lifestyle that Jesus taught, we will see that what Jesus said is true. All right, anyway, thank you for being part of this class. By the way, just so you know, the last 10 minutes, the recorder died, so this last 10 minutes is kind of a faked version of it. But at the end, I said thank you for coming, and I said thank you to Jan for staying up till 2 or 3 in the morning every Friday night for 6 weeks. For getting up at 5:30 in the morning to bake the muffins and to put the class together. Thank you for everybody for coming. We invite you to another in-depth class next fall, probably starting in late September or early October. Maybe a class on one of the Gospels, or more likely a class on the Book of Romans. So we'll see you then. And thank you for listening. Amen.